B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Ba-do-zap.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox!
Season four, your mom's a horn.
Pizza time.
Hit me like a bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners. He has three.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small. Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small. Midget with a dog.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Attire Studios. You can call us at 617-779-0985. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv. Subscribe to 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Before the show even started, Mark from Medford was already on hold.
Yeah, I know. It's.
I feel like it's going to be that kind of morning.
Yeah, him and the other guy, they call in all the time.
Who's the other guy?
Paul in the truck. Paul in the truck is threatened Dan.
Oh, is that right? How is it that I work on this show and I don't know who Paul in the truck is?
We had him on yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he called in yesterday. He calls in a lot.
Oh, I'm bad with names.
Just real quick, on the call screener, it sometimes will log the number of calls. And at one point, Mark from Medford was on line one and Paul was on line two. And the call, Mark, the leader in the clubhouse, at 5,348. Paul right behind him at 4,970.
Well, Paul must be instantly forgettable because I know Mark when he calls, and
Paul's
I like
not
his
trying
calls.
Hard enough is what this
Paul
is.
Sounds like. Paul sounds like an angry guy from Boston.
Yeah,
he wanted the Bruins to play Freddie and the Boys. He wanted to. No passengers.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that's yes. Paul in the truck. Okay.
Yes.
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 Okay. But Paul in the truck one time was called in, and he was giving Dan the business, and he's like, don't make me turn around. And Dan's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, I'm driving to Florida. Tell Scott to let me in. Like, because I guess Scott and Beetle were broadcasting from the Super Bowl in, like, Miami.
Mm-hmm. Don't make me turn around.
Oh. And he's like, don't make me turn around. And he's like, what are you talking about?
Huh?
He's like, oh, I'm driving. Oh, well, I'm telling you. And he goes, well, I'm driving down. I'm driving down. And he's like, driving down where? Like he was supposed to know Paul in the truck was on his way to Florida.
Huh.
And then he said, don't make me turn around and, you know, come kick your ass.
Oh, no.
Said Paul in the truck.
Oh, I don't like that. Why are we still taking calls from a guy who's threatening physical harm on somebody at the station?
I don't think it was much of a threat. But there you go. That was Paul in the truck. And Mark from Medford can wait. That is the Bruins season.
Yeah, there that was a stink job. That was a no-show by everybody. That sucked. Not fun at all.
That was.
It just reminds me of, like, I mean, how many different seasons have they ended on a game where just, like, nobody showed up? Like, it's not even, like, close. It's not a heartbreaker. It's just, like, you knew. You could feel it.
That's about as bad as it's been. That last night.
Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals is bad as it's been.
Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, though, they came out and peppered Binnington, and they had life.
There was no, I mean, at least you had, like, Marchand, who played his ass off.
Well, I mean,
he's the one guy on the team that did. Nobody else did.
But
Game 7 yesterday. I thought Marchand.
Well, no, Game 7.
Game 7 against the St. Louis Blues was just like
I rewatched
it.
I actually rewatched it, and there were times where they were the better team. Last night there was no time. They
and
were
you
the
know
better
what?
Team.
At least in that St. Louis series, don't forget they went to St. Louis and won Game 6. I mean, there was a lot of optimism surrounding the team heading into Game 7. Last night, with their season on the line, nothing changed from the previous 2-3 games. They looked exactly the same. You get nothing 5-on-5. It was just like games 3 and 4 in that building. The top line got close to nothing. They didn't finish their great chances when they had them. Everything looked exactly the same. The Islanders did get a few fortunate bounces, but they were clearly the better team.
Well, you want to know who the MVP of that series was? Cal Clutterbuck. Because the second he took Carlo out of it, everything changed. Everything changed.
Well,
the tenor of everything changed.
Barzal
was able. Well,
Barzal changed.
That helped a ton.
It did.
Barzal became a major piece.
But that wasn't the reason they lost.
You had no. Well, it's one of the reasons that they went.
One of, but not the biggest.
Well, I mean, then they had no size anymore. I mean, you saw how bad they were in front of the net. Once Carlo was gone, they had nothing. So, I mean, it's not the only reason, but I think everything changed at that moment. I think that, and if you can take a look at the momentum and everything that they had. When he was gone, everything started going to crap.
It's skill, too. I mean, Tenorti's a really big guy. He's just not nearly as good.
That's obviously part of it. Tenorti should have never been playing.
You said size.
But size and people who know what to do with it.
Exactly.
All right, well, now you're just saying they lost a good defenseman. So, yeah, they lost a good defenseman. And, they were, the Islanders play better. They're a better team. Not in terms of skill, but in terms of the way they
play. They play the same way the entire time. They never vary. They never drop off. It's like they're a straight line, and the Bruins are all over the place.
They capitalize on every mistake that the other team makes. It's everything you want in a hockey team. They were perfect. I mean, it's what you wanted.
They play the Bruins style only about 100% better. You wanted the Bruins to play like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought they were playing like that. After the trade deadline, they did play like that.
Yeah.
But you come up against this team, and as good as the top line is, and you have 2 and maybe 3 Hall of Famers on that team, it didn't matter. They got completely taken out of the series once the Islanders had last change. And if they're really that good, that shouldn't happen.
Well,
and it happened in at least 3 of those games, 5-on-5.
Yeah, I mean, the team's going to be completely different next year. There's no way knowing Neely at all that Neely's going to sit there and keep this team the same.
You can't run that back. You can't. There are only so many excuses you can make.
With the age of the guys too. You're not running that back.
And after we talked to Cam, it sounds like that's not what they're planning on doing. Especially when we brought up what's been going on with Swayman, and he said to us that his play at the end of the year moved the timeline forward.
That's right.
And, those are his words, which, if that doesn't say to you that they believe he's ready to be the guy, then I don't know what does. So you've got that going on. They've got to do something, obviously, with the D-line. They have to get some legitimate players in there, because you're not going to be able to – think about it. So – they're going to take care of Hall, which they should. I think we all agree that Hall's the one guy that they should bring in.
Hang on. I watched Taylor Hall the last couple of games, and last night in a huge game, he was scared to shoot the puck. He was scared to shoot last night. He had a golden chance from about, 10 feet out on the goaltender's left backhand?
But you don't think his body of work, of everything that he did with this team so far, doesn't justify them keeping him?
They got him to perform well at this time of year. This was his first chance, and everyone wrote about how he was going to provide a huge impact this time of year. They needed him in this series, especially with the top line hamstrung the way they were. And he needed to do better. I'm not saying they won't re-sign him, but it's no longer the layup it was 2 weeks ago.
I would re-sign him ahead of a lot of other guys based on his age, ahead of everything.
Oh, sure.
But in based on who's unrestricted free agents, is that that's about as good as it's going to get.
That's
for,
true.
For that.
No, you
for,
make a good point.
For a wing.
You make a good point.
Right. And just, he's 29, he's not in his mid-30s.
But you understand what I'm getting at here.
No, I know. He wasn't a difference maker in this series. They would have been the same without him. Is basically the worst thing you can say, is they would have been the same without him. And I know exactly what you're saying. And if you went by this series, you'd go, why would I give this guy any money? It's just that They have $28 million as of July 28th. They'll have $28 million, which in hockey is insane. And it's really time for Sweeney and Neely to get creative. Because if you just looked at unrestricted free agents, and it's not the way to do business. If the way to do business is the way the hockey writers are talking about it, is, well, if you look at the unrestricted free agents, there's really not a lot, and so you're going to have to bring so-and-so back, and da-da-da-da-da. Well, then Ainge is the greatest GM of all time, because people wanted Ainge to move guys that were injured and guys that were crap, and to move all this and make magic happen. And if the Bruins can't figure out how to maneuver around and get younger and better with $28 million in cap space, then that's an indictment of their front office.
And that would be nice to use some of that money on, you know, not obviously the defensemen they have to get, but maybe some bottom six forwards that are halfway competent, which we haven't had in a long, long time.
They're going to have to, I would just get McAvoy done now. I don't know how that works, but McAvoy's going to have to get done, and he's going to make $10 million a year.
How many years does he have left?
He's got one left.
The one, yeah.
He signed a two-year bridge deal.
Yeah.
And then
he's a restricted free agent. So I don't know how that works, but they're going to have money. They're going to have $10 million to sign him. And the NHL cap is not crap or whatever the hell people say. It's a hard cap that
is no
very, very, very tight to maneuver around.
No mid-level exceptions, no restructuring of deals, no massaging numbers. No. It is what it is.
So
can't go over it.
So Hall's going to have to be reasonable, and McAvoy's going to make $10 million a year, and they'll sign him. They'll sign him for as long as he wants to play.
According to Fluto, he said that. What was the number he told us? Hall's number was astronomical that he believed he was going to get.
Well, 6 for $39 million was the original number he threw out when he first started talking about possibly resigning him.
That's a lot for a guy who was a redemption project 2 months ago.
But on the other half, the other side, it's what he made in Buffalo this year. So, I mean, does he deserve to have his salary cut?
The average
salary is right around what he made for Buffalo this
year. Yeah, but was he worth that salary? I think that's the whole reason that he wanted to come here and try to show people that he is worth that
understand,
type of money.
I understand, but from Hall's point of view,
6 for $39 million is fine.
Yeah.
That's what he's going to cost.
I would prefer shorter for that.
You could go shorter, you're not going to get less money. That's he's going to be making what Bergeron and Marchand make if he gets 6 for $39 million. So whatever that you see of him and McAvoy, I think you have to keep Hall because you got it, and then you got to figure out who's going to center your second line, because it's not going to be Coyle, and it's not going to be Lazar.
Yeah, and we were talking about this yesterday. You hope Krejci is indeed like Chara. They go year by year. He doesn't want to go anywhere.
Well, now he's 35 or 6. Now you're running it back. So I would like them to get creative with the money and maybe take on a bad contract from someone in order to get something nice in return. You're going to trade DeBrusque, and you'll see what you get. It's going to be another young player with upside that hasn't fulfilled their potential. Or maybe you could package DeBrusque with something and take a bad contract back and get a star, but there's work to be done. And it's above my pay grade, but all I know is that $28 million is funny money in the NHL, and there's a lot of teams with a lot of cap problems, and there's a lot of teams that got to move bad contracts, and if you have enough money where you can take on a bad contract in return for a greater return on your trade than you would normally get. So that's up to them to figure out. That's why they make all the money they make. And that's the way it's going to have to be. You're going to need to get a right shot defenseman. You're going to need to get someone to center your second line. And I don't know anything. Pick up depth on the last two lines. That's the DeBrusque trade and anything else. Anyway, not unexpected. Just it was what it was. You could see it happen coming a mile away.
Not unexpected, but still disappointing. To watch a no-show like that is.
I didn't expect anything different. That was my feeling after seeing what I saw, that was my feeling the whole time. I had no expectations going into last night. I can't even say I was disappointed.
I was disappointed. I thought they'd played better than what they did, especially after the first period.
You didn't. You were no more optimistic than I was.
No, I wasn't optimistic, but I thought they'd play better than they did.
I thought they were going to lose 4-1. I didn't account for the two empty netters. All right, which I didn't watch. I mean, I wasn't going to watch it at that point. But we'll be back. The Bankroll Boys on at 7. Andrew Raycroft going to be on the show today. Lots of fun.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
985, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Rich, the Bruins have fallen again.
Yeah, we all saw the game.
The Bruins keep it in, and the horn sounds. The New York Islanders have won the East Division. They sweep the last three games in this series, beat the Bruins 4-2, and win game 6-2 here at the Nassau Coliseum.
Well, we're not going to relive what happened on the ice last night because there's really no point, but what was said post-game is important as we do this post-mortem and try to figure out what went wrong and how to prevent it from happening again. Let's start with the decision to start an obviously injured Tuukka Rask. So Cassidy afterwards was asked what he was thinking behind putting Tuukka in net when there was a perfectly healthy backup that has shown he's fully capable. Here's what Cassidy said afterwards.
He was healthy enough to play. It just, you know, he wasn't 100%. I can't answer whether he was 95 or 92 or whatever. I mean, we talk to him on a daily basis. He's ready to go. We've been very upfront with him. We gave him time to heal in the middle of the year, and we would have given him time to heal from game to game in the playoffs if that was necessary. He's our starting goalie, and he told us he was ready to go. So that's where it's at, and only he can tell you going forward. There may be surgery, there may not. That's, like I said, that'll be his decision and the medical staff's decision. That's what happened with Tuukka.
Well, that's a little scary throwing that surgery thing out there, but Tuukka was asked about his performance in the last two games and got a little metaphysical on our asses.
Well, I think it's the same answer as every year. You know, we're all getting older and we're not going to last forever. So it's definitely closing at some point. Yeah, for sure. But, we have great leadership, great veteran guys, and, you know, we try to build a new team every year and come together. And I thought we accomplished that pretty good this year.
Goth Tuukka Rask there. We're all getting older.
What the hell does that mean?
Forever.
Well, what does any of that mean?
What do you say then the circle is closing or something like that?
He's very Finnish or wherever the hell he's from.
Yeah. Yes, he's been listening to his Norwegian death metal.
Yes, he does love Norwegian death metal.
Mm-hmm.
Who gave him the pick? Someone gave him a pick at one of the pucks and paddles, a Norwegian metal pick.
Oh, what's the band with the guy who actually got plastic surgery to look like an orc?
Yeah,
he
was Ronnie James Dio size, and he got his ears like spiked up like an actual orc.
Yeah, I'm not joking. Oh, what is that band called? But yeah. I guarantee you, that's got to be who it is.
I'm sure it's a really good band.
Oh, I'm sure they're excellent.
It's too dark in Finland. And that's the problem, is they live in constant blackness.
They do. So many months out of the year, it's just all about being evil. Well, on top of that, Tuukka was asked about what injuries he was playing through.
Now that it's over, can you tell us what exactly was bothering you? And you know, could you even put a percentage on how you were?
I don't want to get into that right now. We're going to release the injury report in a couple of days. We're going to have our exit meetings. We can talk about it, then. I'll give you a full lowdown then. Let's just, I don't think that needs to be a headline now.
By the way, I don't know who that is asking the question, but he absolutely does not sound like someone from Boston who covers hockey. Mm.
Now that it's over, can you tell us what exactly was bothering you?
Is that Rear Admiral?
No. Rear Admiral's, I don't think that's him.
Okay.
I can see where you're coming from there. Yeah,
I thought Real Admirals was even stronger.
That was playing to type. I agree.
There's a lot of voices in that. There are a lot of voices in that Bruins press scrum that I'm not positive where they work, but they've been working with the Bruins for a long time.
Well, Jimmy Murphy, you can tell his instantly.
Yeah, but I don't even know where Jimmy Murphy works.
I follow him on Twitter, so I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, I think him and Hags work together on a site.
It's a new...
Opponents? Weren't they at one point they didn't get along?
Now the buddies. Boston Hockey Now?
I think that sounds right. Yeah, the two of them work together.
I mean, I'm not even saying that good for everybody for making their living. I'm just saying that there are a lot of voices, like Matt Kalman, who we've had on the show, who used to, I think, write for the station website. I don't know what he does now.
Yeah, I don't know.
He used to write for CBS Sports. Yeah. I don't know where he works, but he's in the media scrum still.
But he doesn't sound like, I mean, like Connor Ryan's there too, who we've had on before. I mean,
all I'm saying is that there's an awful lot of people covering the Bruins where I'm not positive where you could read what they're or see what they're doing.
That's a fair point. Yeah, I follow Matt Kalman, and I don't know who he writes for now.
He's a freelancer here.
Freelance. He's a freelancer.
Yeah. So, word to the wise is, if you ever want to meet the Bruins players, just get yourself a press pass, because they're handing them out like nobody's business between Rear Admiral and Jimmy Murphy.
Rear Admiral's been there forever. Like, he's been doing it forever.
Oh, no, he's been there since I can remember.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's been doing it even when no one wanted to do it. You know, like the Dave Lewis years, he's been on top of it.
Well, if you cover the team in the Dave Lewis years, that gives you, special dispensation.
Right, you get like the fast pass to the front of the media
that's
line.
That's right.
You've earned it at that point.
Deal with Uncle Dave for that time.
Well, yeah. Patrice Bergeron was asked about the health of Tuukka Rask and whether it was a concern going into the game.
Yeah, I think it speaks volume of him. I think he's been doing it for many, many years now, and, you know, he's always been stepping up when needed and battling through, things here and there. You know, we knew that it wasn't always easy at times for him with what he was dealing with, but, kudos to him for wanting to be there for us.
I do wonder what guys like Patrice and Marchand think about the decision to put Tuukka out there when they obviously, you can tell by their postgame comments, knew how injured he was. Also, with their effusive praise of Jeremy Swayman at the end of the regular season. I mean, the way they talked about him, it wasn't the way they talked about Vladar. It's not obviously the way they talked about Halak. There was something there with their endorsement of that guy. And I wonder if that decision might have irked them a little bit. I don't know why they did it. We called yesterday and the day before. As a matter of fact, immediately after game 5, I think all of us agreed that Swayman should have started in net. It was just, I don't know. In the end, though, Cassidy, he doesn't put the loss on Tuukka.
This isn't on Tuukka. Of course, he could have been better. And as I alluded to earlier, there were some rebounds and, you know, that we could have as a whole, you know, cleared or controlled better. Could have started there. But we mismanaged some pucks and put him in bad spots as well. So this is a team loss.
Yeah. So here we go.
That I agree with, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a team loss.
Everybody not on sucks. Rask. Just about everyone. I mean, you could point at Matt Grizzlick and go, oh, my God.
Yeah, well, Grizzlick might have been the terrible. Worst. Of all the people on the ice, Grizzlick probably was the most egregious. Him at fault the most.
Well, he two mistakes that led to goals.
Well, a turnover right in front of the net.
Yeah, and the turnover at center ice that led to a goal.
Yep.
He had two very visible mistakes. Rask wasn't good, but whatever. I mean, they would have lost anyway.
Yeah,
they were bad anyway.
I'm not convinced.
It would have taken Swayman coming in and standing on his head and making a save on that breakaway. And then, I mean, I'm not saying this happens. Even if this would have happened, if he would have made the save, he makes a save on that breakaway, and all of a sudden the Bruins are galvanized and they go up 2-1. I mean, you're creating a whole thing in your head.
Even if Carlo and Miller were healthy, I'm not convinced that the Bruins beat this team.
No, I mean, it would have been closer, but no, I'm not convinced they beat this team. This team they've lost in the second round now 2 years in a row. Before that, they were the Blues series where they had the open road to the through the playoffs.
Yep.
Lost in the second round before that, lost in the first round before that, and then missed the playoffs the 2 years before that. And there's writers who want to run this team back. Oof.
I don't think they do anymore.
I do. Well, they all say it. I mean, what do you mean they don't? They all say it.
Who this morning says they want to run it back?
Ty Anderson, the last time we talked to him, said it. I mean, what do you mean? They all say it. You guys talked to Fluto Sinzawa, and he talked about bringing everyone back.
Oh, but that was different. That was before we saw the performance in this postseason, and that was before he saw Tuca being injured and the way he played. No.
Then Ty Anderson, the last guy that I've heard talk about it, wanted them all back.
So Ty wants Tuca back, and
yes, okay. you were here.
No, I was in the other room editing, so I did not. I actually did not hear that.
Fair enough. Okay, I thought you were here.
No.
All right. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting because I don't.
I'm not making it up. I mean, I'm not sitting here like lying to you. I mean, they want it back. It's very frustrating to me. I don't know what it is about hockey that like it's just people don't. Like the team would be idiotic to run this back. What? So they don't make the playoffs in 2 years. I mean, get younger now. This team's not winning a cup. So get younger while you can. I mean, you're going to fall off the face of the earth. You have a rare opportunity. We talked to Neely about it. He knows it. They have a rare opportunity to get better on the fly.
Put it this way.
And get younger on the fly.
If you go down that road further, if you try to run it back, and I completely agree, they need to make a lot of changes all over the place. You are costing yourself in the future by 2, 3, 4 years where you inevitably take that big dip. And then you're going to stay there longer if you don't do something about it. Now, you might take a step back, but it'll be a short step back. And the only reason they'll take a step back is because the youth isn't ready yet.
Yeah.
Whereas if you re-sign these guys, you bring them all back, you tie them down to long-term contracts, you bring back Rask for 3 years, you bring back Krejci for 3 years, then when everyone ages out, and we're about a year or two away from that, what's left is going to kill you for at least another 3 or 4 years after that.
Think about Belichick and the way that he managed his team. Take the recent drafting out of it. Think of how short the run of the Patriots would have been if he was just like, well, I don't know if there's anyone like technically better out there right now, so I'm gonna keep these guys. He let everyone go a year early. Everyone. You could start with Teddy Bruschi. He told Teddy Bruschi, yeah, we're not taking you back. So you can go try to find it, or you can find it somewhere else to retire.
Willie McGinnis wound up playing for Cleveland. Teddy Bruschi got let go. He remade the entire defense and made it young on the fly in the late 2000s.
Yes.
They had that great run in 2004.
Yes.
In 2005, I believe it was Denver in the Champ Bailey interception return for a touchdown. Belichick saw them going in another direction, made the defense younger, and they did take a step back. They would still make the playoffs routinely, but they weren't the threat that they were, and they remain relevant. They remained in contention.
It's true. He does let everyone go early. Like Tom Brady let him go way too early.
that's true. Something. But this is something.
That's right. He's had no success with that math. It was only the Brady thing.
The comparison is there, though.
It's the most important one, at least.
I don't know. I mean, he was pretty good for 20 years. They won a few championships.
Yeah, it's all Brady.
Not in the beginning. All right, we'll be back. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Right now. It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We are Tusher and Rich. All right, we talk about him enough. Xanadude, hello.
Hello. Hey, Fred. Hey, Rich. So I'm going to sum this up very straightforward. 1, Fred, I agree with you. Do your plan. 2, I was at Philly in 2010, and the person with me said, I want you to take stock. I want you to look around. I want you to think about everything you're feeling right now. I said, why? said, because you will never feel worse about the Bruins than you do in that moment. I wake up this morning, I say, you know what? It's nowhere worse than 2010 or 2019. And I didn't have to make the long, sad walk home from the Garden for once, and that was great.
But you shaved off the playoff beard today. You were growing a playoff beard.
I was. It's kind of nice. I could feel my face. Putting a mask on for work without the beard, that's wonderful, because that was driving me beeping nuts.
Now, we had a debate yesterday because you very kindly asked me to join you for Game 7, if there was indeed one, and we were trying to figure out, do you break character at all during the game, or are you at 11 the entire time?
I would say that anytime the puck is in play, if I was at a game with you, I'd be off the walls and total Xanadu. I'd say during the commercial breaks, I'd be like, hey, Rich, like, let's talk about stuff that you know.
I knew it.
You and I have a lot of similar interests. You're into Lord of the Rings. We have the like, same music.
We do love the Lord of the Rings,
like,
yes.
Hey, let's have fun.
Maybe we would bond over that and go to a D&D game afterwards. I'll bring my 80-sided die, all right?
No, they're only 20-sided.
In Xanadu, do you have two tickets or one ticket to the Bruins game?
I have a pair of season tickets dead center ice in the back row of the balcony.
Wow. All right. Well, sorry, Xanadu, but we knew it was going to happen, and I'm glad we're on the same page with the offseason. They're in a unique opportunity to get younger.
I'm looking forward to next season. This is a rare time where I come out of this game and instead of being depressed, I'm like, next year's got to be good. Like, I think they're going to do some stuff. I think Sweeney's got to need to earn that Harvard degree and show us that he's capable of doing this, but
they got
overall,
money.
I look forward to next year and what they could do with that kind of money, because I can't remember the last time they've had this kind of money and ability to do something with the roster. And
they haven't had this type of money since I've lived here 15 years. I had season tickets the first Dave Lewis year, which I smartly got rid of immediately following that year. Very intelligent on my part, but they moved our shift to 3 to 7.
They also don't have like an anchor of a contract right now. You know, like every year there was always like that one that you were sitting
Coyle?
There.
Coyle, Coyle is a bad contract, but it doesn't anchor them.
Yeah. I mean, you had some bad ones over the years.
You had the Backus, and now they get rid of that Krejci contract that always pissed me off. Rask has made a lot of money. They get rid of him, so they're going to...
So much cash, man. This is good.
Well, and they got to be creative, because if you look at the unrestricted free agents, there's not a lot to pick from. So they're going to have to get creative.
Well, also, in one of the most expensive positions in goal, you could potentially have a guy on the cheap in Swayman, the future of the team, which is very advantageous.
But, again, it's not just about going out and plucking guys from other teams, even though there is someone available. And Billy scoffed at it.
You guys, what, Nylander? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Or who's it?
Landeskog.
Landeskog, yes.
Yeah, he's
Landeskog.
Captain, and Billy said, and he makes
Well,
sense.
He scoffed, but remember when Christopher Gasper scoffed?
Oh, yeah.
When young Brian Hoyer was coming out of East Lansing, Michigan, and was an unsigned, undrafted free agent, and Gasper poo-pooed it, not even on, just poo-pooed it to my face. Back when we were just trying to cut our teeth in this format, poo-pooed me, and I'll never forget it.
Yep.
Even though I like him and Murray on Saturdays, as begrudgingly I have to say. Gasper's actually gotten pretty good on the radio. I will say that he poo-pooed it. Not that I have any knowledge or anything that this could happen. I just found out the guy was a free agent yesterday. But we'll see if this doesn't come back to haunt Billy Jaffe.
Yeah, Landeskog is a left wing that can play center. And if you somehow convinced him to come here and play center on that second wing, I mean, Fred and I were going over the numbers during a break yesterday. The Bruins, if everything kind of works out the way that we think it is, can have pretty much one big swing at a free agent.
If they sign Hall.
If they move things around, they re-sign Hall, they get Rask back or get rid of at a discount or get rid of them altogether, whatever the case may be, they probably are going to have enough money under the cap for one big swing at a free agent.
Then what's more important, a big swing for a defenseman or keeping Krejci for cheap money, or taking that big swing on a second line center?
I think you have enough young guys to fill in at the bottom of your D pairing, assuming Carlos stays healthy,
Which is a big assumption.
No, I mean, the guy's and you're losing Miller.
You're losing Miller, and one of those defensemen might get taken by Seattle in the expansion draft.
But that's Miller, true. But I mean, you can sign. Listen, you get one big swing, and I don't know who's available. But I know who's available. But I mean, again, they're going to have to be creative. They're going to have to get creative in terms of trades. They're going to have to get creative in terms of maybe taking a bad contract on. They're going to. There's talent is available. It might not be out there, you know, on July 28th, just, you know, roaming around without a contract. But I mean, talent will be available and they're going to have to figure it out. That's their job. All I know is that they're going to have an unprecedented amount of money to spend. I mean, this is like when they got Savard and Chara kind of money. This is big time free agent money. And, you know, we'll see how they work it. We'll see how they because this is...
It's like, what groceries will they pick and which rotten groceries will they get rid of?
Exactly.
You know, and it's... I mean, and you're right. How often... Geez, Fred, since we've been here.
And...
How often have they been in this situation
they haven't,
where they could do this?
They haven't since we've been here. And, by the way, while keeping your organizational cornerstones, while keeping Bergeron, Pastrnak, Marchand, while keeping Carlo, while keeping McAvoy, while keeping all these guys... You can go out because Hall's a huge free agent signing anyway. So we say taking two big swings. I mean, you'd be taking two.
Yeah.
You'd be signing Hall and you'd be signing another guy. And so you could take two. And you're right. They do need a defenseman. And
I just wonder if that's going to be the thought process going into this is if you can keep Krejci on the cheap, you take the big swing at a defenseman.
Well, I mean, Krejci, I say, you hang on and we'll get to you. Because,
and by the way, I think he would wait.
I think so too.
That's fine. That's not a bad plan. I don't listen. If they go get a defenseman and sign Krejci to a 1 or 2 year deal, two is still hurts me.
Two's probably most likely.
This is a team that isn't going to win a cup. This is a team that needs to get better or get younger. It needs to do both, but certainly needs to get younger. So. I mean, Krejci is an afterthought like Chara was. I mean, Krejci, maybe you sign in the fall. Like, Krejci is almost if you made a mistake and you need to cover it up. Like, they have a big opportunity here, a big opportunity, and it's going to be their jobs. I mean, this is their opportunity. Sweeney screwed up that whole draft. Where they had the three picks in a row. He screwed that whole thing up.
You know who got taken 16?
Yeah, I know. I know.
That's so upsetting.
Who got taken 16?
Barzal.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
After they took those three guys, Barzal was 16th. Oh,
did you say
God.
Beauvillier was taken 28th? Okay, the Barzal thing, they said several times on the broadcast. Oh,
yeah, they said that a million times. So, he whiffed on that. And I heard Ty Anderson saying Barzal didn't do good in his interview when they were valuing character and blah. So, I mean, Ty's right, I guess, but I don't like when they say they were valuing character. That always reminds me of Warren Sapp not getting drafted by the Jets. So, I mean, listen, man, this is their chance to shape this franchise. And this is their opportunity. And if they fail, they'll be fired. And if they do well, they'll be revered. I don't think they should fire Cassidy at all. I mean, I think he's in over his head a little bit in some of these situations, certainly in the St. Louis series.
How much do you think it's his fault for the inability for the guys in front of the net to be able to, I mean, like his defenseman, it seems like it's been a mess.
If that was such a blowout that I don't know how you blame the coach. The coach, and then when people are like, well, the players weren't motivated or something like that. Well, I mean, the coaches at that level, I don't know what that is their responsibility. Cassidy is the last of their issues. I wouldn't get rid of Cassidy.
I don't think anyone's like saying.
No, a lot of people are.
Well, I'm saying get rid of him, but I think that he does deserve a little bit of blame.
Oh, I think that he deserves criticism. I mean, they haven't won a cup with him. And they lost to an inferior team when they had everything in front of them in 2019. Or 2019. They lost to an inferior team. I mean, the Blues were not as good as them. So he deserves some blame.
They're tougher. They're definitely tougher.
Okay, but I mean, there's, I mean, there were a lot of teams that were tougher than the Oilers when they had Gretzky, and, you know, they managed to win.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of tough teams that lose in the first round. There's plenty of tough teams that don't make the playoffs. Believe me, the Detroit Red Wings, when I was growing up, were the toughest team in the whole history of the effing league, and they didn't win anything.
You're Don Sweeney. You are at a key point in this organization's history. I mean, what he does this summer will point this team in one of two directions. Yes. And like you were saying, it might cost him his job in 2 or 3 years if he doesn't make the right decisions.
Oh yeah, he's fired.
This
offseason is huge for him. If he is a legend or if he gets fired.
I feel good though having him there. Because, I mean, his track record, listen, there's been times. But
some contracts have been good, but some contracts have been not.
More
some
good draft than bad, though.
Well, some draft picks have been good.
We're not talking
some
about draft
picks. Have been not. It's all part of his job, though.
I know.
It's all part of the same thing.
I'm talking about having all of this money. I'm talking about the money part of it. The drafting, obviously, there's an issue. But, I mean, what he was able to do with able to get these stars on the team to be able to sign on the cheap,
sure.
That's been great.
Yep.
The Taylor Hall, what happened? I mean, that was an excellent.
His in-season moves have been excellent.
The trades
they've been very good.
Great.
And his contracts with
trade
guys,
was good.
And the contracts with guys who are already on the team and being able to keep them for a decent amount, like a good contract. I mean, listen, Pastrnak's contract's one of the best in the league. Marchand as well.
That's negotiating contracts. But his in-season moves have been very good.
Yeah. So
the Hall trade was a great trade.
It was great.
I don't care that they lost in the second round. That was a great trade, even if they lost in the first round.
So yeah. I feel pretty good going into this with him at the helm.
Well, it's up to them. And this isn't, by the way, anything that if he got pissed off about this, then I'd be like, you're in the wrong job. I mean, yeah, if you do well, you're a legend, and you look at what you've done. And if you don't do this well, you've set the organization back five, six, 7 years, and you're fired.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the reality of his job, and this is the offseason.
Shirelli still up in Canada?
No, he was fired from Edmonton a long time ago.
Right. Shirelli just coming there. Dan was just doing the make it rain thing.
Yeah, he was. Shirelli would have kept every. Shirelli would have. Charo would have been first line defenseman. Charo, he would have had.
Man.
He would have had.
I just want him back for our interviews. I mean, you know, listen, Shirelli loved being on the show with us.
Well, I don't think. I think if you talk to Shirelli in his personal life at a dinner party or something, that you're getting the same Shirelli that you get on the air. There's not a lot to Shirelli in my experiences with the man. I think Shirelli might be on some sort of spectrum of some kind. While he could make brilliant financial moves, there is not a face-to-face thing happening. All right, the Bankroll Boys are in. That means Joe's got a pocket full of hot takes. And Dan Lifshitz has got empty pockets because of the Lakers. We will talk about all that in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.